Okay, so restoring Parshas Toldos, and we have the event here with Yaakov and Esau, with the brachos. And at the end of the, you know, when Esau realized what took place, and Yaakov bested him, the pasuk says, in Perikov Zayin, pasuk Memala, Vayistom Esau is Yaakov, ala bracha she berchu avit. Esau bore a hatred for Yaakov Avinu for the brachos which he took. Vayomer Esau Belibo, Esau said to himself, Yikrvu yimei evil avi, when the days of mourning for my father come, the arga is Yaakov achi, I'm going to kill my brother Yaakov. So Esau is saying that when Yitzchak dies, I'm going to kill Yaakov. And the question becomes, why, if he's so angry at Yaakov, kill him right now. Why does he want to wait for Yitzchak to die in order to kill Yaakov? So Rashi says what we might call the Pashup Shad, that, you know, we know Esau was very close to Yitzchak, and he wouldn't want to hurt Yitzchak's feelings or make him feel bad, but he didn't want to distress Yitzchak. And so he wouldn't kill Yaakov in Yitzchak's lifetime, but once Yitzchak's, you know, no longer alive, so then he would take revenge on Yaakov. That's how Rashi explains the pasuk. But the Kli Yakar gives a different shot, and it's based on maybe Medayik the Lashon of the pasuk. Because the pasuk says, what he says is, Yikrvu yimei evil avi, when the days of mourning for my father come, then I'm going to kill Yaakov. The question is, why did he emphasize the days of mourning? Just like when Yitzchak dies, I'll kill Yaakov. So it gives an alternative shot to account for the lashon of Yimei Evil. It says the Kli Yakar that Esav had a cheshbon. Esav knew that the truth is that he would not be successful if he tried to kill Yaakov. Because Yaakov has a shmira, which is the schus of Torah. Yaakov Avinu was the Ishtam, Yoshev Olam, was the maskmit for 14 years in Yeshiva Shem Be'ever, I mean, that's after this, but that was, you know, right who Yaakov Avinu was. And it would have been impossible for Esav to try to attack Yaakov. Esav knew that. The Zchus of Torah would have protected him. So he had a cheshbon. I'm going to specifically wait until Yaakov is an Avelis, because an Avel can't learn Torah. An Avel is not allowed to learn Torah. He won't have the Zchus of Torah to protect him. So that's why I'm going to wait for the Yimei Evil of Avi when he's an Avelis in order to attack Yaakov Avinu. That's how the Kli Yakar explained this. And he goes on to say that there's a Gemara in Brachos, which says that an Avel needs a Shmira. He says, why does an Avel need a Shmira? Because an Avel for the whole year is lacking in the Zchus of Torah. He doesn't have the Zchus of Torah, or let's call it, you know, it's really not the whole year, but for the Israel learning Torah is for a short amount of time. But let's say during Shiva. And so therefore, since he's lacking in the Zchus of Torah, there's a deficiency, so he has to have some extra protection from outside sources. That's the Kli Yakar's vort on this pasuk. Now, I heard a kasha on this board of the Kli Yakar from, in the name of Rav Brown from Yeshiva Farakway, the Yeshiva of Yeshiva Farakway, YFR, right. So, the kasha is, but what do you mean that Yaakov Avinu, an Avil, doesn't have the schus of Torah when you're in Avelis? It's true that you can't learn most sections of Torah, but there still is some Torah you can learn. An Avil will learn some sections of Torah. The right, on Tisha B'Av, we're communal Avelim. We can't learn everything, but there's some things you can learn. It's that Gemara's and Gittin, Hilchos Avelis, the things that an Avel can learn. We can be rest assured that Yaakov Avinu and his Yimei Avelis wouldn't be wasting his time watching football and drinking beer. Yaakov Avinu would be learning Torah. So what's the Shaila? What, of course, Yaakov Avinu is going to have this chus of Torah to protect him, even during the days of Avelis. What was the cheshbon of Esav Avinu? It doesn't make sense. So he said like this. He said, what's the pshat that an Avil is restricted to specific points of Torah? That an Avil can't learn all sections of Torah, but only specific sections of Torah? Because Torah is misameach. Torah brings a person to ava, to a gishmak, to simcha. The sections of Torah that an Avil is allowed to learn are the sections that do not bring a person to simcha. Depressing gemaras, the sad gemaras in Gittin, Hilchos Avelis, things that don't bring a person to simcha. An Avil who's not allowed to be the simcha, is not supposed to be the simcha, that's why he's restricted in his learning. He can't learn sections of Torah that's going to bring him to simcha in his learning. He's restricted to the aspects of Torah that are depressing, that'll keep him in the mood that he's supposed to be in. So Esav's cheshbon was that in order to have the shmir of Torah, it's not just enough to learn. a person has to learn b'simcha. It's the learning the simcha, the geshmak in learning, that's the real essence of learning that gives a person the shmirah. But just stam learning without geshmak is not going to bring a person to shmirah. That was the cheshbin of Esav. I saw Rosh Schwab brought down that he once went to visit the Chavetz Chaim, and he writes about his encounter with the Chavetz Chaim, and he says the Chavetz Chaim was speaking to the Kehillah, and the Chavetz Chaim was speaking about Masikas HaTorah. And Rosh Schwab writes that when the Chavetz Chaim was speaking about Masikas HaTorah, he says that he put his fingers to his lips, and you could see him tasting the geshmak as he was speaking. Like he was speaking about like the Masikas HaTorah as if a person would speak about a steak, and you could see, it was palpable to him. Someone else told me that Rav Huttner, whenever he'd speak to Rav Aaron Cutler, he would try to get Rav Aaron Cutler to say the word Torah as much as he could. Because every time he said the word Torah, it was said with such a geschmack. Torah. So he would veer the conversation, you know, like, in order to get him to say the word Torah, because he said it was such a geschmack that it made him feel good. I want to share with you a beautiful word I heard in the name of Rav Tal Yeager, Rashiv of Shar Yashiv. The Pasuk says, in Tilim, Lule Sarascha Shashua Ozavadati Banye, that if not for the Torah, which is my Shashua, so I would have been destroyed, I would have perished in my affliction. So the Torah, the Pasuk is comparing Torah to a Shashua. What is a Shashua? So typically it's translated as a delight, as a pleasure. If not for the Torah, which was my Shashua, which was my delight, my pleasure, I would have been lost in all the you know, David Melech had great suffering in his life. And if he didn't have Torah to hold on to, it would have all been lost. But Rav Yeager pointed out that actually the word Shashua, officially, technically speaking, doesn't mean a pleasure. It technically means a child's toy. That's what a Shashua is. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya that talks about a Shasha Yoneker, something like that. There's a child's toy. That's what the word Shashua means. And so the question becomes, like David HaMelech is comparing the Torah to a child's toy. The Torah is the Dvar Hashem. It's the, you know, the most sophisticated, unfathomable wisdom in the Torah. And we're comparing it to a child's toy. Imagine you walk into the Pentagon and you see the most cutting-edge technology, the most sophisticated device in the world. And you call it a child's toy. It's nothing. Like, it doesn't stem. So what does it mean that we're comparing the Torah to a child's toy? So he said like this. He said that if you ever, he explained it with a mashal. He said, if you ever see like a little child, a toddler, playing at the beach, let's say, and he's building a sandcastle. So for a long time, he's gathering water and building a sandcastle. It's a beautiful edifice with five wings and the whole everything. And he's playing with it, and sometime later, you come back and he's smashing it down. He's knocking it down. And the person says, like, you just spent so much time building this. What are you doing? So the child just laughs, and he kicks it, and he stomps on it, and that's all. So what's the pshat? The pshat is that to the child, so the geshmak of playing with the sand isn't just about building the castle. The whole process is geshmak. Building its geshmak, throwing the sand to the geshmak, knocking it down, its geshmak, stepping on it, it's all geshmak. The whole process is geshmak. So that's the amkus of what David HaMelech was saying. That when he was comparing the Torah to a child's toy, what he was bringing out was a certain aspect of the geshmak and learning. That when a person can tap into the Masikas HaTorah, so the whole process of learning is geshmak. Putting together the sugya is geshmak, asking kashas geshmak, being stuck for a week is geshmak, yelling at your chavrus is geshmak. The whole process is geshmak, like a child's toy. Building the castle, knocking down the castle, it's all shashua. I just want to end with a vort that I heard from, I read in the name of Rav David Soloveitchik. Rav David Soloveitchik was a Talmud of the son of the Brisker Rav. And he gives a beautiful explanation of a pasuk we say in LeDavid during Elul. In Mizmor, the Mizmor of LeDavid, so we say, Achas sha'alti me'es Hashem osa avakesh. I had one request from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's my wish, shivti be'es Hashem kol yimei chayai, to sit and dwell in the house of Hashem all my days. So the Kashi asks is that there's a double lashon, it's repetitive. Achas sha'alti osa avakesh. Why is he repeating himself? Just say, this was my request. Why the double lashon? So he explains it with a little bit of a mashal, he said like this, that you know, when a person has to make a decision to pick something among the variety of options, so you have two circumstances, two types of scenarios where a person has to make a choice to choose something. Sometimes you could have a case where a person has a whole array of options, and they're all good. They're all gishmak, but he has to pick one, so he picks one. You know, l'mashal, l'mah davidoma, I take my child to a, you know, we have a deal that if he memorizes a certain blot, so I take him to Amazing Savings, and he gets a prize for a certain amount of money, and you know, that's the deal that we have. If he memorizes a certain amount of a blot, so I take him to Amazing Savings. I give him a certain amount of money, and you can get whatever you want for this amount of money. So my son goes to Amazing Savings, and he wants everything. Everything in the store. But he has to pick one thing. So I said, okay, I'll memorize the next blot. We'll get something else. You know, but so he has to pick one thing. So he picks one thing. That's one situation. But then Rav David says that there's another scenario. There's a situation where a person has an option. He has a whole group of options. But he doesn't care about anything except for one thing. He wants one thing and one thing only. He doesn't want anything else. It's not a shayla. It's not like I don't know which one to pick. I do shayla, this is what I'm picking. Says Rav David, what David HaMelech was saying when he said the double lashon is that, you know, David HaMelech was the king of the Yiddish, of the Jewish people at the greatest, you know, the greatest strength when we were at our pinnacle. We had the most territory in Eretz Yisrael. He conquered all the surrounding nations. He had everything. Donald Trump is nothing compared to David HaMelech in the times of David HaMelech. He could have picked anything. And what David HaMelech was saying is that when I want the Torah, it's not the pshat that I could pick 15 different things and I don't know what to do, so I pick the Torah. I want the Torah and nothing else. I don't have a shayla. It's not like 10 things that I know what to pick. Acha shalti, O salvation, that's what I want and nothing else. So I'm inspired by this morning's Seder. That was a beautiful morning Seder in the Tevis Noach in the corner of the Beis Medrash. Not I don't mean in a negative way the rest. I just mean to say that we all banded together to have a wonderful morning Seder. It was really phenomenal. So we should keep shteiging together, and the more we stick together the as a chabura, the more we'll shteig together. Shkoyach.
Shkoyach. Shabbos, good evening for the Shtov.
Is
this year on Sunday?
No.